This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We certainly are glad you've tuned us in, and we appreciate those of you who take time to listen week by week. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website might be a real help to you. This program can be re-listened to there, and my weekly meditation can be read there, so if you want to get my addresses to contact me or to find the website, you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper, and I'll give you those at the end of the program. Now, we've been going through scriptures that have been important to me in my life, and the reason that I have listed these scriptures the way I have is because we've been trying to be a help to a new believer, and she knows very little about the Bible, and so I'm trying to guide her to scriptures that I think will be a great help to her as she hopefully begins to read and to study and to pray on her own. I do personally believe that all of us have a personal responsibility to read our Bibles and to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. We have a privilege that the early church did not have. We have the Bible written down in our own language, and the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is used by the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith, and the Holy Spirit does guide us into all truth. So we have a responsibility to learn from the Bible and to read it ourselves. However, it does help to have guidance from those who have been along the way, and particularly those who have guided you into this new life with Christ, this new birth. And so we're just thankful that we can lay out some of these scriptures, and we don't want to repeat them all, but last time we dealt with what I think is one of the most important scriptures that we could deal with, and that's Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And that is a principle that really blesses us. If we don't put the Lord first, we'll never find him when it comes to salvation. If it doesn't become the most important thing in our life, I don't think we'll ever find him. I don't think people are saved casually. I think they're saved when they search for the Lord with all their heart. And that's when they are convicted of their sin and they find out that the answer is in Christ, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and in his promise that he's coming again. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So that verse is a guide for those who are looking to find the Lord. It's a guide for those of us that are saved. And if we didn't know much beyond that verse, but we just asked ourselves, today, what would the Lord have me to do? What is important to the Lord today? That would be extremely helpful. Now, we're going into Thanksgiving, and this is not a Thanksgiving message, but the next verse that I want to read does talk about our Thanksgiving, and that verse is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Again, if we didn't know much besides 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, we would have a pretty good guide as to what the Lord really thinks a Christian ought to be like and how that they ought to order their lives. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 says, Paul's writing, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those that are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." Here it is, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." And we do trust that the Lord will bless this passage to our hearts this morning. You'll notice if you break it down, at least the way I broke it down, that there are 12 things that Paul admonishes those Christians to do. You might have been able to break it down into 11 or into 13, but I've broken it down into 12 things. The first thing is warn. Second thing is comfort. Third thing is uphold the weak. The fourth thing is be patient. And the fifth thing is don't get even. The sixth thing is rejoice always. Seventh thing is pray without ceasing. The eighth thing is in everything give thanks. The ninth thing is do not quench the spirit. The tenth thing is don't despise prophesying. In other words, don't despise preaching where the preacher is speaking for God. And the 11th thing is use discernment. Test all things. Test it against the scripture and test it against common sense. And abstain, verse 12, abstain from every form of evil. The King James Version says abstain from every appearance of evil, but that makes it appear that you have to be careful that you aren't in any way associated with activity that others might criticize you for, and it makes us live before man. And while there might be some truth to that, depending on how you decide and where you decide to do your evangelistic work, while there might be some truth to that, this is really saying that evil associates itself with almost everything we do in life, and it pops up in different areas of our life, and we are to abstain from evil in every form. And that means we're abstain from evil that is associated with religion, because religion can be a controlling evil thing that leads us away from the Lord. We can live in association with the bondage of men. We can let a particular person guide our lives who does not know the Lord because they're charismatic. And so we can have religious kinds of evil, and we can have academic kinds of evil. And of course, we can have the immoral kinds of evil in our society, and the Christian is abstain from evil no matter where it is found. Remember, God is good. Evil is associated with Satan. He has tried to destroy this world. He has manifested evil. God has allowed it in many cases to test us to see if we are faithful, but we are to abstain from every form of evil. So let's think a little bit about this formula for a holy life. Warn. We notice that's the first thing that's given to you. Warn those that are unruly. Well, are there people who do not behave themselves properly in our church? I suppose that would be the first application, because Paul is writing to the saints that are at Thessalonica, and there are those that were unruly. In this case, I think they were those who had, because they believed the Lord was coming, they had quit their jobs and they were not living their lives in a very sanctified way. They were living off of others. They were spreading rumors. They were busybodies. And he's basically tells us with regard to the Thessalonians, yes, the Lord is coming, but while you're waiting, do your work with your own hands so you can provide for others, and make sure you live a life that is orderly, that makes sense in so far as your responsibilities to your family and friends are concerned. And so don't be unruly. Don't use spiritual things as an excuse to avoid your responsibility. Comfort the faint-hearted. There are some people that are afraid of everything. And just as the Holy Spirit comforts us, we should comfort the faint-hearted. And we know today that there are certain personalities that just need an arm placed around them. They don't need so much good advice. They don't need teaching. They need somebody who just listens and puts their arms around them, and in some cases meets their needs. Because when you get older, you'll find out that some of the fear that you have is that you can't do the things you used to do, and you need to rely on others to do them, and you need people that will come alongside you and help you in that way. And the young sometimes need that. But we have different kinds of personalities, and when somebody is faint-hearted or fearful, instead of criticizing them, we are to put our arms around them. We are to uphold the weak. And I suppose we could look at that weak physically, but I think that might be weak in the faith. There are people who come to faith in the Lord, and they certainly don't understand what they have. They don't understand the blessings that are theirs. And we are to uphold them. And they may never fully grasp the blessings that God has laid out before us in this new life that we call eternal life. But even though they may not be completely doctrinally sound, We can uphold them if they love the Lord. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them, but we can uphold them. Be patient with all. Oh man, that's a difficult one, isn't it? To be patient with people who make bad decisions. Be patient with people who, in some cases, are critical of you. Be patient with your children. Be patient with your wife. Be patient with your husband. Be patient with your fellow Christians. That one is all-encompassing and very difficult, at least for me. But that's what the Lord says. And the Lord was a very patient person. When we see the way in which he worked with people, the only people he was really critical of were hypocrites. But the rest, he always came alongside, and he met their needs. He was patient with them. But here's a good one. Rejoice always. That doesn't mean that we party always, but we always rejoice because we know that our future is secure and we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother and our sins are put away. Why shouldn't we rejoice always? We should. And then pray. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we pray 24 hours a day, but it means when we have something that we are praying about, we should not give up on it, even though it appears that the Lord is not answering our prayer in the way that we would like it to be answered. So I have some things that I've prayed about for years, and so far I have not seen the answer. Oh, you say, yes, the Lord has answered. He's answered with a no. Let's face it, folks. If the Lord answers with a no, as far as I'm concerned, he's not answered. I'm looking for a positive answer, and I'm praying, I believe, about something that the Lord would want. I'm praying in the will of the Lord, but I've got to be patient. Here's another place where patience pays. I've got to be patient and let the Lord work things out, but we are to continue to pray for those things that are on our hearts. We don't quit just because it seems as though the Lord is not listening, because the Lord is listening. Then in everything, give thanks. Now here's our Thanksgiving message, which I'm not going to give today. In everything, give thanks. We can be a thankful people, can we not? I know some people have said it says in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything to give thanks, but we'll notice if we go over to Ephesians that it does say that there. Now, it doesn't mean that we give thanks for things that are evil. I think we have to look at this in its proper perspective. But are we really a thankful people? Do we get up in the morning and thank the Lord for dying for us and for the blessings we have and for the country we live in? And even though we may not agree with all that goes on politically, do we thank the Lord that he's put us in a country where we have the freedoms that we have? And do we pray for those who are in authority? Do we have a thankful spirit? So we need to make sure we give thanks. Don't quench the spirit. Don't do things that will keep the spirit from operating, and then we need to test all things. We don't want to be gullible. We want to have discernment, and we need to abstain from every form of evil. Now, we trust these 12 things will be things you'll think about and which will be a help to you. Now, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy love and for thy salvation. Bless our program. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Box 192, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.